Well, hello. I want to welcome everyone. We're going to get started on today's Success Circle Q&A call. I know there are some of you who are just joining us the very first time, so I want to welcome all new members. Exciting to have you. The purpose of the Q&A call is to answer any questions that you have about growing your business or about any steps in the Entrepreneurial Edge system. So it gives us a chance to even also coach you through the process. Some people are able to make the call live, so you'll notice on past Q&A calls where I've coached people live on the call. Other times people do want to submit their questions anonymously, and at which time I will also cover the answer during the course of the Q&A call as well. Remember that the Q&A calls are available to you in the audio library on the Success Circle. I also have a very special announcement I want to make about the Success Circle. I'm really excited about it. So I'll do that in just a minute while everybody still gets on the call. I do want to reiterate, though, that the if you miss something, please take advantage of the membership site. That's what the audio library is all about and for. So if you miss something, you can automatically download it the next day. We usually send you a reminder too. So we don't want you to miss a thing in helping you grow your business. I also want to welcome existing Success Circle members, so welcome to you too. I didn't want to leave you out of things. I have a couple of upcoming events that I want to make sure you have on your calendar. August 9th at 4:30 is the next high content call. What I'm going to cover on August 9th is teleseminar strategies to grow your business. So a lot of people that go through the Entrepreneurial Edge System 3-day intensive, or if you've purchased the Entrepreneurial Edge BizBoost self-study program, then you know that using teleseminars is just one way to grow your business. Well, what I'm going to do is dive a little bit deeper on the high content call about teleseminars and how to use them to broaden your reach, to broaden your community of people, to also to grow your list. Now, there's some major mistakes, though, that people use out of the gate when they're trying to implement teleseminars. So on August 9th's high content call, I'm going to review some of the major mistakes that small business owners make on teleseminars and how you can avoid them, because I want you to be successful when you do implement them. I'm also going to cover the one question that you really should ask yourself, actually you must ask yourself, before holding a teleseminar. And if you don't answer this question, your teleseminars are not going to be successful. And these all come from experience in doing teleseminars over the years. And so I'm going to pull open the curtain and share with you those strategies. And number three, you're going to learn on the high content call on August 9th is the super easy tips that you can immediately implement so that your teleseminar is both interactive and engaging, and you get noticed also as a subject matter expert. So really, really great shortcuts I'm going to share with you and tips I'm going to share with you. So make sure you mark that on your calendar again. August 9th at 4:30 is the next high content call called Teleseminar Strategies to Grow Your Business. Also, August 18th. Is a Thursday at 5 o'clock. We're going to cover PCI compliance. Now, what is that? When you grow your business, many of you may now handle or accept credit cards. Some of you may not yet accept credit cards because you haven't grown your business just yet, or you haven't gotten there just yet in your, as you're executing your business blueprint. But what I'm going to do is have a guest. He is a master agent by the name of Jared Sparr, who's going to come on and tell us all about PCI compliance. So, for example, every small business owner who accepts credit cards needs to know some of the things that Jared is going to share on this call. He's also going to talk about who's responsible to make sure that you're compliant, and any you know, actual costs that you can incur as a result of non-compliance. So I want to make sure that, you know, you really get a good handle on the different elements when you do accept credit cards, all the things that you want to be careful of. We're also going to talk about ways to eliminate some of those PCI compliance costs that a lot of people who accept credit cards in their business don't realize that they're paying for PCI compliance when they don't need to, and they're spending their profits on this. So we're going to uncover just all the myths and mysteries of PCI compliance. What is it? If you're accepting credit cards, what do you got to make sure of? Again, we want to make sure that you're, you know, doing things right. So remember to mark your calendars for August 18th for that free teleseminar. You can also register for that teleseminar, the PCI compliance teleseminar at. And I'm going to give you kind of a long website, but it's freebusinessplanformat.com. There's an extension here, freebusinessplanformat.com/myths-mysteries-PCI-compliance. So it's freebusinessplanformat.com, myths-and-mysteries-PCI-compliance. So sorry for the long, very long URL, but I'll do it one more time. freebusinessplanformat.com/myths-and-mysteries-PCI-compliance. Or you can just go right on our events listing on accelerateassociates.com, and you can get it there too. So today is a Q&A call, and let's just get started here. We've got a few questions. I do need to first apologize. One's apology, the other is an exciting announcement that I want to make. First day apologies. My website and my email have been down for the last 2 days. Yeah, very frustrating. So although you might have gotten some emails from me about reminders about the Q&A call, unfortunately, that's off of a different system, a web system. So you probably did get reminders about today's call. If you tried to respond to those, though, that goes through my email, not to get convoluted, but we didn't get any other questions. So if you tried to send in questions between, I'd say, Sunday and even as early as today, and today's Tuesday, we may not have received your questions. The email is up and running now, so if you do have a question that you want me to address in today's Q&A call, we'll see if we can squeeze it in, and you can email me at info@accelerateassociates.com. info@accelerateassociates.com. Remember, that's excellerateassociates.com. During the course of this, my answering questions, and we'll make sure that we check the emails to see if new questions have come in during the course of this call. So I apologize. The next thing that I'm really, really excited about that I wanted to tell all the Success Circle members before anybody else is that I'm getting a whole new look, not a whole new look, but a whole new platform for my website. And the membership site, too, is getting a facelift. So you're going to notice some changes happening. I'm really excited about them. It'll add a lot more functionality to the membership site. And we're going to be working on that in the course of the next 4 to 6 weeks. So you're going to see some changes. I'm really excited about it. Again, it just gives us a lot more functionality in the community. So you'll see different options available for you, and the navigation will be a lot easier. And I'm really looking forward to some of the changes. So just wanted to let you know, and would love your feedback when we do get it up and running, what you think of it, what you think of the changes, and we just would love to hear more about it. And, of course, if you have any suggestions for improvement, whether it's the blog or, you know, whatever, love to hear from you. So never be afraid to email us at info@accelerateassociates.com and let us know what you would like to see. That goes too for the high content calls and the Q, you know, any of the high content calls. If you want us to cover a certain subject, dive deeper into it, then email me, because we always look at our our training schedule, and we want to make sure, I want to make sure that I'm giving you what it is that you need in terms of high content and high value that's going to help you grow your business. Okay, so let's get started today with some of the questions that we've had. The first one is, can you review the difference between a corporate page and a lead generation page? Yes, I can. Now, remember, there are five types of sites. The first one is the permission-based marketing or lead generation. The second one is the corporate site. The third one is a blog. The fourth one is a sales page. And the fifth one is a membership site. Now, I'll go through those again. Permission-based marketing or lead generation, corporate site, blog site, sales page, and a membership site. Now, the difference between a corporate page and a lead generation page. Now, a corporate site or corporate page is like a traditional website. Of course, the word traditional is really changing now, but gone are the days where your traditional website, you know, people used to put up a website and then not touch it for years and years and years. Well, over the years, a corporate site has evolved. And so a corporate site still gives you a presence and is your typical site that you see out there that has a lot of links. It has information about you, about your company, about the services that you provide. It probably, for some people who are speakers, it has a media kit on there. So it's a place, a central place that people can go. So it's a corporate site, okay? And most people are familiar with corporate sites. A lead generation site is a page, usually one page, that has no links in it. All right? Now, your corporate page is going to have a bunch of links in it. Your lead generation system page is not going to. Now, why doesn't a lead generation page have any links to it? Because you want them to, you want to capture information. You want there to be a singular focus, and you want, you don't want a lot of distractions, a lot of places where they would link off. Because a lead generation is just that. You want them to look at your material and decide, do I put my name and email in here to get this information? Am I interested? Is this speaking to me? And then when they do, you want them to put their email name and email address in there. Now, that's a lead generation page or site, right? And the question also was the difference between a corporate page and a lead generation site. And then the follow-up to that is, are they two different sites? A lot of times they are. Because people have traditionally set up their business, their corporate site, under the name of their business. What they've learned through search engine optimization and through how people search for things is they're searching for a solution to their problem. And when they search for a solution to their problem, you want them to find you and or your lead generation page. And when they find your lead generation page, and a lead generation page is usually based on, just as a reminder, it's based on a keyword search. What people would put in a search engine to find you. So your lead generation, you want to make. Now, the question then says, well, so you need to have two different sites. Yes. Could you have two different URLs? The www dot? Yes. Because your corporate site might be, like mine is, accelerateassociates.com. But my lead generation page is getmoreclientsnowvideos.com. Getmoreclientsnowvideos.com. That's my lead generation page. Why? Because people are going to say, oh, gee, how can I get more clients? And they're going to put that in a search engine. And when they do, you want them to find you. So, and in some cases, some people put in that URL directly, like freebusinessplanformat.com. People do put in the URL directly, freebusinessplanformat.com, because they figured, well, somebody must have that site, and when they do, they read the information, they see the video that's there. Now, when people come to your corporate site, do you want them to have, do you want to have your lead generation somehow on your corporate site? Well, the short answer to that is you absolutely do. Now, why do you? Well, you want to have your lead generation on your corporate site because you want them to take action. And it's going to be someplace that's going to be visual, that people can see it right away, that it's very easy to, you know, opt in. Okay? So, yeah, you want to connect those. But you don't want to connect your corporate site to your lead generation on your lead generation site. Why? Again, remember, when they land on your lead generation site, that's all you want. You don't want to give them an excuse to leave. You want to get their name and email address. That's the singular focus of a lead generation site. Now, can you have more than one? Sure, you could. You could have various keywords that where your lead generation page sits. So maybe you've discovered through your research that people are finding you through different types of keyword searches. Now, what this allows for when you do a keyword search is it just allows organic traffic to find you. And so when people are doing searching, they're able to locate you. And that's the first step, that you want them to find you, choose you, and buy from you. The moment they choose you is the moment they're putting in their name and email address. And as you continuously have those stay in touch systems, and as you start to build your community, they'll stay with you if they're truly your ideal client. But all the way, you got to think about, gee, what is my sales process? Remember that sales funnel. So that is the difference. Kind of long-winded. I went a little bit further on the difference between a corporate page and a lead generation page, but I wanted you to see how they do both serve a little bit different function. And when we're talking lead generation, remember, it's a singular focus versus your corporate page, which is going to be more of a general, this is who we are and what we do. Great. So I hope I've answered your question. Again, remember to email info@accelerateassociates.com for any questions that you have. All right. Are there any advantages to putting in dashes in a site name for search engine optimization purposes? Yes, I've been told by search engine optimizing gurus that putting in dashes in a site name is more optimal. Because the search engines will pick that up versus if it's all one word that you're putting, you run it all together, then it's more difficult for the search engines to pick that up. So the short answer for that is yes, I do understand that putting in dashes for a site name. Now, a site name, remember, I just mentioned the five types of sites. So think about a couple of things. Think about search engine optimization, but also think about the practicality of it. All right? Now, if I were to put in freebusinessplanformat.com, and I would say, okay, you want to go to free-business-plan-format.com. I mean, when you're on teleseminars and webinars and, in speaking, you know, that's going to be a really hard domain to try to get across. So look at the practicality of it. If it's two different words, maybe, then it may make sense. But look at the functionality of something as well. Think about it before you purchase it, and really consider that. Also, when you're naming the different separate pages on your website, and this is for more people that are going to WordPress sites, think about your other pages that you're going to name. So your home page, for example. What do you want to name your home page? Well, your home page is probably going to be the name of your domain, right? So if people go to Accelerate Associates, that's the home page. But let's say you have a secondary page, about. You know, think about naming it more than just about as your extension. So if it's going to be accelerateassociates.com/, about, well, that serves no search engine relevance. You know, about Accelerate Associates, or about coaching, or about, you know. So think about those other pages that you have in your website and what you name those pages, because very well people could pick that up in a search when they're using a search engine, right? So if you have services, let's say you're a trainer, and you have your page that says services on it. Well, what kind of services do you offer? So you might say, well, let's say you're a chiropractor, and your services page, you want to say, you know, maybe, you know, it's a service, maybe you want to name your page something else. You know, chiropractic services-for-athletes, if you specialize in athletes. So even though the person who's looking at your page, and they're going to click on the button that says services, if you look at the URL, you'll see the longer URL. It doesn't matter, but what it matters for is search engine optimization. It doesn't matter to the reader in as much as it's more for search engine optimization. Okay? So just think about that if you're redoing your websites. What are you going to name your other sites? So, just need a little bit of water here. Hang on one second. Okay. And let's see. How do I regain momentum? Let's go to the next question. How do I regain momentum when I've had a negative experience? This is something I covered in the 3-day intensive, and it's on the BizBoost self-study program as well. But, you know, there's a lot of times where people get really discouraged because as they start to put in all of these different things in their business, and they're really starting to create some of that momentum. And I see this happen a lot with people that are trying to close the sale. And they're learning all this brand new stuff to close the sale, and they don't close the sale. First of all, you're not going to close the sale every time. Remember, it says seal the deal 98% of the time, so there's still a 2% factor here. And when you learn something the very first time, you need to also give it time, because like any new system, you've got to create that habit. You've got to create that momentum. You've got to, you know, really polish, you know, really polish and be in the moment. And, you know, you're trying something new and it just doesn't feel right. And so you might look at, or have a tendency to look at something as a negative experience. But remember the four principles that I mentioned. The principle of control, the principle of belief, the principle of focus, and the principle of conscious thought. And one of them I want to really focus on today, but the principle of control says, essentially, that you need to take PAR, P-A-A-R, power, accountability, authority, and responsibility over the results that you want to achieve and the life that you want to lead. And in order to, you have to be 100% enrolled in that PAR and say, you know what, I have, you know, the buck stops here. I have absolute control over my life. But if you're not taking PAR, if you're using excuses, it's everybody else's fault, then you don't have that principle of control. And it's not about controlling and being controlling. It's about saying, I have power, accountability, authority, and responsibility over the results that I want to achieve, and the life that I want to lead. Now, the principle of belief says what you expect to happen, then it will happen. But we tend to believe, or we tend to say, oh, well, I don't know, you know, if I'm going to get this, the other company, this proposal, the other company is a lot more qualified, and then you start with the buts. The but this, but that, but, you know, and you start again using excuses, so you don't have the principle of belief there. That it is possible, that it can happen, that change can happen. The principle of belief. Now, the principle of focus says, what you focus on, you find. What you focus on grows and increases. What you focus on seems real. And what you focus on, you ultimately become. So now, to regain momentum, you had a negative experience. Okay, chalk it up to experience. What you focus on, you find. What you focus on grows and increases. What you focus on seems real. What you focus on, you ultimately become. Now, part of the principle of focus is also being thankful for what you do have. But if you say, gee, I'm just getting a trickle here, or, oh, you know, the example that I always use is when people are trying to change and shift their mindset, and they find a penny. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's only a penny. Oh, yeah, ooh, that I'm going to get rich now. Now, you're not being truly thankful. So why is it that you should attract any more into your life if you're not thankful for the little things? Even being thankful that if you have a negative experience, that it is a learning experience. What did you learn from it? What is the positive thing that you learned from it? And the fourth principle is the principle of conscious thought. What you hold in your conscious thought, you will invite more of it into your life. What you hold in your conscious thought, you will invite more of it into your life. But what do we say? Oh, you know I didn't get that, or, oh, I didn't execute that the right way, or, oh, I didn't. And then you start to rehash and rehash and rehash the negative parts of things, the negative experience. Or maybe, you know, you're the type of person who verbalizes, and you keep verbalizing the same negative experience over and over and over without changing what it is you're telling yourself in that conscious thought. So if you're hardwired that way, all right, that you need to talk about it to resolve it, great, talk about it to resolve it once, maybe twice. But then, what is it that you need to change about that conscious thought? What is it that you want to invite into your life? So in terms of regaining that momentum despite that negative experience, what are you telling yourself? And for some people, you gotta forgive yourself because you're trying to do things perfectly. And that's a really, you know, for some of you who are perfectionists, who are getting hard on yourself, it's not helping you. So cut it out. So remember that the principle of conscious thought, what you what do you want to invite? You might need to change your conscious thoughts. So again, regaining momentum when you have that a negative experience, remember, those four principles will help you do that. Now, let's talk about the system, the mindset system of all this. What are you telling yourself every day? What habit are you getting into at the very beginning of every day? Now, many, many, many of the thought leaders that I've interviewed on my radio show, Blog Talk Radio's Navigating Change show, have all said the same thing. Very successful people. So we've got Dr. Ivan Meisner, the chairman of BNI. You have Marcy Shimoff, the author, best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author of many books, including Happy for No Reason, and she's got a bunch of books out. You've got... I've interviewed different types of entrepreneurs on the show. They all said the same thing, one fundamental thing that gets them over the negative experience. That is, every day, in terms of how they, the habit that they have at the beginning and the end of the day, and sometimes even in the middle of the day, but how are they starting out their thoughts? You know, many of them said, and I do this too in the morning. My process is a little different than some of them that I talk to. Some like to read a self-help book. Some do meditation. I do kind of a combination of yoga and meditation and conscious thoughts in the morning. So what is your habit? Also, you have one negative experience. What I find, though, that a lot of times why there's a rehashing of a negative experience is because you have not developed enough in your business yet, enough activity in your business to then go on to the next thing. So if you're finding yourself rehashing a negative experience and having it really difficult to get recharged and have that momentum, I want you to really think about how busy you are. Because busy people and people that are executing their business blueprint, they don't have time to spend a lot of time on the pity potty. They get off because they've got a whole plan of other things that they have on their calendar, that they have on their list. So asking yourself, what is the next thing? What is the next thing? What is the next thing that I can do here? So those are not only mindsets, but think about the principles, principle of control, belief, focus, conscious thought, number one. Number two, the habit of getting into what it is you're telling yourself from a conscious thought. So think about your daily habits. And number three, how busy are you? If that negative experience is really getting you down, you know, think about your activity. Do you have enough activity on your plate? Are you executing your business? Do you have your business blueprint one, and are you executing it? Big, big difference. You'll notice that when you get more busy and you start executing your blueprint, those things that seemed big to you before, those things that fell through the cracks, or those things that, you know, the business deals that you thought would go through that didn't, you'll recover much quicker, much, much quicker, if you have some of these systems, these mindset systems, these habits, and your business blueprint in working for you, and you're constantly working on those. The other thing is to make sure your business model is in alignment with your hardwiring, because remember, that connection is really important to staying motivated. So if you're trying to execute a business model that's completely contrary to how you're naturally hardwired, you are going to have a really difficult time trying to execute something. And so one negative experience could get you into a funk, and it's already difficult for you to execute that business model. So make sure that you're looking at your business model as well, because it's just as important to keeping motivated, because you're going to get that energy, because from how you, you know, what your business model is, and is it feeding into that natural motivation that you have? And think about that. Are you also getting what you need? So if you're a person who's naturally hardwired for people interaction, are you getting enough of that people interaction? So I think, let's see here. I think that was it. In terms of the questions, no other questions were submitted. I think everybody's on vacation, enjoying the summer months. So I don't have any. Remember again that if you do have any questions, to send them to info@accelerateassociates.com. And I apologize if you did send your questions in. Again, my email's been down for the last 2 days, so I do apologize if you did try to do that and I didn't get your or cover your email or your question today. But again, you can feel free to email me, and we'll cover it the next time. At the next Q&A or your laser coaching call. So I'm happy to also address it there. And with that, I think we're finished. I think I've answered all your questions, so it's going to be a little bit shorter than we normally do, just simply because of the number of questions that we got today, and probably because of some of the questions we didn't get because the email was down. So thank you so much for your patience, and I hope this was helpful. Again, if I didn't answer your question and you couldn't come on to call live to be coached through the process, please email me as well, lisa@accelerateassociates.com. Be happy to work through that with you. With that, I look forward to seeing everybody at the next High Content Call, which again is August 9th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then remember to join us for the teleseminar on August 18th for the PCI compliance, all about credit cards and what you want to be careful of when you do start your business and start receiving credit card, or accepting credit cards rather. And so you definitely want to tell your friends, also other business owners that you know. This is going to be a really great teleseminar. I'm really looking forward to it. With that, I think that's all, and I want to again thank you for coming to today's Success Circle Q&A call, and until next time, create a great life. Bye, everybody.